What's going on, golf addicts? Welcome to the Texas Children's Houston Open 2024 betting show. DB back in it. My boy Pat looking all tan coming off of vacation.
Yeah.
Our weeks could not have been more different. Pat, you look lovely. You look glowing. I would imagine you'd be a little more glowing had Cam Young pulled it off.
Yeah,
today, but he, you know, like Cam Young and Xander Schauffele tend to do, they tend to beta out on Sunday and lose to a man in a funny hat and a yellow ball named Peter Malnati at 400-1. God. Other than that, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I feel like now I just might never bet Cam Young again. I thought I was going to be the one who between the two of us who got him right finally. And it didn't happen. And he didn't have a bad day. I mean, he shot 68. Obviously, the 72nd hole was bad. But and Malnati, I mean, damn, the dude had started off the back nine with three straight birdies. Birdie 17 in the snake pit. What's the deal? Is the snake pit really that hard? I don't feel like it bites anybody anymore. It's like a garden snake pit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem to have as much bite maybe as in years past, but you know, when you got Big Peter Malnati, you know, emphasis on Big Peter, because he slapped it around everybody's face yesterday on the back nine. Like when you got him doing his thing, you know, that thing, that's one big Peter taming another snake, you know.
What you slay, girl? What?
taming a subservient snake, and yeah. And he made it subservient, you know.
Maybe people, snakes are scared of yellow balls.
Maybe people in the Nut Hut were calling him Peter Mal Naughty. You know, he's kind of naughty. He naughtied it up a little bit, and you know, you just had God. You know what I love the most, because I was watching it. I was watching it from a hospital room. And I told my wife, we're gonna have a good day. Keith Mitchell's gonna stuff hadn't been going right for us. Stuff hadn't been going right for me in the outright market, hun. This is very meaningless compared to what we're sitting in here doing. But Keith Mitchell's gonna get it done. Of course, Keith Mitchell rapidly ejects and just completely leaves the conversation. Like Keith Mitchell left like yo damn wired Ethernet connection last week with Byron. Like just.
Yeah.
4 minutes into the show, Keith is frozen and then he's gone. He's disappeared. So my only desire in life, and no offense, was not my only desire in life, but my only desire in that golf tournament was that Xander nor Cam Young would win. Even though you had Cam Young on the card, I'm sorry. I just didn't want it to happen. And when Xander made his late Sunday charge from, you know, his 11:40 tee time or whatever it was he had, and people on Twitter were like, Xander's going to backdoor win this, and Xander's going to this and that. And I'm like, God, these people. And he falls four shots short. Like, I just, those two guys, I do think, I will say this. I think Cam Young is going to win. I think Cam Young will win before Xander wins again. But I think Cam Young is closer than I think he's back. Like he's come close in majors, he's come close in other tournaments. I do think Cam Young probably wins this year. I would bet he wins before Xander. But I am so grateful that I have not wasted unit after unit after unit on him for the last 2 years. Because I am not pot committed. I will happily jump on him when he's the right number, when I feel it, and I'll happily hit it because I do think he's going to win. But boy, there are a lot of people very pot committed to Cam Young's first victory. And when he gets it, y'all ain't going to be broke even. Now, listen, I got my own issues. Keith Mitchell is an issue of mine. But at least I get Keith longer. I get him longer numbers, you know, but
yeah,
Cam, buddy. God.
Can you
imagine like looking at yourself in the mirror, like you're Cam Young, okay? You get home, you're brushing your teeth last night. You're just in the mirror, you're brushing your teeth, looking at yourself, going, and all you can see in your mind's eye is Peter Malnati, a little pissant Peter, bouncing around, grinning, and you know, he's like a dang, he's like a greeter at Disney World. And then he's got his hat on and his goofy ball, and you're just brushing your teeth going, I can't believe I lost to that guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I feel like you're talking to me. I'm not always on Cam Young every time. I mean, I don't bet him every single week, but I did bet him last week, and I lost again. But I wouldn't say I've spent a ton of units on him. And I will, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and admit this. I've already got a unit on him at the Masters, and it's because I did it like last year in the fall, and it was like 50-1. And I don't know what it is today. It's probably shorter, but I felt good about that number. And it's got to be shorter now for Cam Young. I would say it's probably 30-1, 35-1. I don't know. But yeah, it's this happens in betting, though. You get kind of pot committed to guys, and then you feel like, what is going to happen when this person wins and I did not bet him?
Yeah, now I feel like I have to be there when it happens. And so if I'm not there every week and then it happens, I'm not there and I'm mad at myself.
Yeah. Now, there is another small reason that I put Cam Young on the betting card.
Yeah, well, okay.
And it's because you and I were texted. And it was in a moment of like, I felt like I was like, all right, DB is back last week. You had like a day where you were giving me crap via text or whatever, maybe on the phone. And then we had to, I don't know what it was, but then Monday when we had to choose our player that we were going to fade for the week, you chose Cam Young. And then we had a little funny back and forth about that. Cause I was like, there's no way he's winning. He's not winning. And I was kind of kidding. Cause I was like, I think he actually has a chance to win this week. And so I put him on my card just because I wanted to rub it in a little bit more if he did win and he was your fade, which again, didn't go so well for you in that department.
I need to start looking at concerts in the fall because I the lead is starting to feel insurmountable at this point for our season long bet. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, interesting. The weirdest year in golf continues with Peter Malnati at 400-1. We're going to get to our outright picks. We're going to talk about our top 26 pack and bombs. I do want to just say quickly thank you to those of you who've reached out, and then plenty of you who have not reached out, but you've sent some T's and P's this way. Special thanks to, you know, Pat and Byron and Tony for keeping everything rolling last week and doing great shows. Very thankful for Byron for stepping in, doing both shows with you. I did see your atrocious ad reads, Pat.
Oh yeah, thanks to Tony. Thank you, Tony. We like he adds in all these extra things when you're not here, just to make sure you see it all. I mean,
those were fantastic. I had a whole folder during my SiriusXM days with Carl and Dennis of just blooper after blooper after blooper. So I already had the idea of doing that as kind of an end of the year type of special thing. So yeah, that filled up right there, 5 minutes of just the open and then the ad read too. And my favorite part is you go through that and you're like, ooh, okay, DB is going to be mad at me about that one.
It's always fun. You never know what you're going to get when it's just me or, you know, something happens. But, you know, I enjoyed the shows with Byron. Obviously, it's like at that one opening when DB, you know, I'm like, please come back, DB. I need you. I need you back to do these things, to do these things that I'm just not very good at.
I will say that the edit did bring a smile. I was like, I told my wife, I was like, you want to see something funny? She's like, yes, please. And I showed her the video and she's like, Pat, what is wrong with you, man? Like, she's like, how long have you guys had the underdog code? I was like, a year. We've had it a year. She's like, okay, that's good. That's really good, Pat. anyway, I did see the shows. But you know, I appreciate everybody's thoughts and prayers and messages and stuff. Spaz and Easy filling in the Discord and keeping the Nut Hut rolling. I don't feel like the Nut Hut missed a beat, which is awesome. Discord just kept rocking and really appreciate the Discord and everybody who stuck with us. It's been a really tough five going on almost 6 weeks. Tuesday will be 6 weeks of stuff for us. And my wife is still in the hospital and will be for the time being, and I'm just trying to do what I can and also run things at home and kids and We got a new puppy at literally the worst time anyone in the history of the world has ever gotten a new puppy. Yeah. So that wasn't.
Congrats on that, by the way. I mean, good job. Right? Yeah. Good job on that, Tommy.
But anyway, it's been a welcomed it's been a welcome thing that the moments I've been able to check out and, you know, do the golf thing or whatever. But last week I needed a break. I needed to focus on one thing. I needed a mental break. I just needed that, and that was helpful. So hoping this week to have regularly scheduled content, except for the bump and run show. We will not be doing the bump and run show on Thursday. We do have upcoming the listener trip to Savannah. Pat's rocking his very own landings hat there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As we anticipate the arrival of Mr. AK, Alan Klutz, the author of The Power Fade, tourjunkies.com, and last year's Discord Listener League winner, who is getting a trip, being flown down to Savannah on the cheapest flight we could find, getting put up in a hotel. Actually, we think it's a hotel. It could be a homeless encampment in downtown Savannah.
And we'll find out. It's part of the excitement.
But we're going to treat him to a couple of great rounds of golf at the Landings with some adult beverages, some great dinner or two, and some good times with me and Pat. It'll be fun. AK has earned it, and you can earn it too if you're in the Discord. Make sure you're playing in the Listener League. If you're not playing in the Listener League, it's not too late. We give out winners. You can win weekly and get a spot to the finals. You can win a segment and get a spot to the finals. So do that if you have not already. Another big advantage of being in the Discord. And AK is going to get to see the fruits of that labor from last year here this weekend. So we're just going to have a lot of stuff going on we need to prepare for. The bump and run show is not going to happen. With that being said, the Masters winner, an announcement for our Masters tickets and the contest we're running on this week. It ends this week. You're going to need to do this ASAP. If you've not already, you have to join the Discord as an annual member if you are not already in the Discord.
Annual member.
Yep. That's if you're not already a member. You have to be an annual member. Get in there and do it. If you do that right now, before Thursday, before we do the drawing, you have a chance to win two tickets. If you can't come, we're going to give you the tickets. You can do with them what you want. We're going to get them to you ASAP. So be on the lookout for that. We'll announce that in the Discord. So you will, you know, if you're a member, you're going to find out who won. We'll announce it in the Discord. So do that. All right, let's get into this, Pat. You want to? Anything else?
Yeah, I think I'm ready. I don't have any announcements.
Well, season-long update. How bad is it? I had Cam Young.
You know what you should have done is, like, your season-long, you should have also entered that into a one-and-done. That's what you should have done.
Okay, I said this in the Discord this morning. We did the first look show this morning. I have, now, granted, I've had a lot going on.
Yeah.
But 4 out of the last 6 weeks, I have failed to enter my one-and-done. This is why I don't play one-and-done. That's why I don't do it.
Yeah.
This is the first year I played one-and-done, like 4 years. This is why. I can't do it. It would have to be tattooed on my face or a part of my body that I see every day and just remind me. So I'm out of the one-and-done. It's over. So that's not even an option for me. If I do the season-long bet and I just put in the one-and-done, it's not an option. But I would be doing okay, I think.
Yeah, you would be.
I got to be over 5 million now, right?
Let's get the update here.
You had Sung Jae, who missed the cut.
Missed the cut.
Oh God. Oh, God. 5.6 million to 2.271.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. I mean,
Cam Young, 915,000. Sweet.
Sweet. I know. Can we start taking, can we take off for like what he's got to give his agent and his caddy and all that? Like, and we just,
no,
like,
there's no whatever cuts.
The player. No. I know that mathematically there's still a lot of golf left.
Yes.
Still a lot of golf left. And, you know, major season is going to come and that's going to throw a lot of things for a loop. So I know that it can change, but it is starting to feel insurmountable.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm never, you don't touch the money. My dad always told me that. You never touch the money. And we know this in betting and we know this in DFS and everything. You can't call it early. And look, if I choose the Masters winner, you know, it's going to be like $4 million or something. I mean, whatever. So, I mean, look, we this could happen. It could flip easily. If it did flip, I mean, we started the year, I was down a million or so. So don't be discouraged, DB.
Yeah.
Now this week we don't really have a lot to choose from. So I feel like both our guys are going to make the cut. It's going to be very hard for our guys not to make the cut. So,
well, I think you have the honors, don't you? I don't know.
I do have the honors, apparently. So, I tell you what, DB, I am going to.
Now hate doing that. Can I say I hate doing this now? I hate it. I don't want to think about it anymore. I don't want to. I don't want to hear your analysis. I don't want to even give my analysis. I don't want to think about it. I hate doing this. It feels like no matter who I pick, it is going to screw me. It literally feels like that.
Well, you know, I don't know. We have to do it. Some things in life we have to do, DB, and this is one of those things right now. Okay.
Okay.
So here's who I'm going to go with. I won't even give you a whole long explanation for it. I'm going to go with Sahith this week, even though he's coming off, you know, two top 10 performances. He's been okay here, but at 20-1 Sahith, I'm going with him.
That does not help me at all. See, this is what I don't like. I don't like it when I have two names written down and you don't pick one of them.
Well, I mean, it leaves it open for you.
Oh, God. I really, really, really hate this. You know what I'm going to do? Oh, God, I can't do that. Oh. All right, let's do this. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
Okay, I have it in my head.
Okay, tell me.
8.
Okay, I'm fading Tony Finau.
Okay. Last year's winner.
Yeah. I'm fading Tony Finau.
All right.
Tony has done nothing for me in quite some time, and I'm usually a Tony D rider, which this all adds up to being a solid Tony Finau week. It does. So I will take it on the chin like I have been, and we'll keep on rolling. So okay. I'll pay now. He's not giving me the great vibes for a top 10. He doesn't feel like a top 10 right now.
I actually agree.
I like Sahith. Like let's transition here into some guys we do like. I like Sahith. I'm surprised that you picked him. I mean, I look at this golf course where you need to hit it far. He does. You need to, and everyone is going to miss some greens, and you got to be able to get up and down. That's something he's great at. He's obviously coming off in, you know, good form. Apparently lives in Houston now, which I don't know why anyone would live in Houston. No offense to Houston listeners, but it's a wretched place. So I like him a lot at 20-1.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe I'm giving you a little window, DB. I don't know.
Don't give me any window. You know you're not doing that. You know you're not doing that. Don't give yourself the out now. Don't hedge your bet now. You know that is not what you're doing.
It's not. I get it. I mean, look, he shows up very well in the BTN model this week. So I think that he certainly could make sense. A little of this is just going with the gut some. He does certainly fit the profile, but there's some other guys in here though that I just like, and I'm certainly not fading Scheffler. I don't feel like you can fade Wyndham right now with the way he's playing. I like Willie Z, even though he missed the cut at the Players and screwed a lot of people. I like Willie Z this week at 20-1. He and Jason Day at 20. I've seen Jason Day at 28-1. I'm showing 25-1 in front of me, but those two are my favorites, are Willie Z actually and Jason Day at 28-1.
I don't mind either one of those. I can't, but I also don't like, I don't love either one of them. Yeah, I think I, I think I kind of trust Willie Z a little more. I don't love the Jason Day number. I don't think 25-1 is a good number for him. In terms of like, what do I actually think he's going to like? How I would way rather have Zalatoris or Sahith at 20 than him at 25. So I think for me, it's probably Willie Z in that group. By the way, Tony, producer Tony, sent us tour dates for 98 degrees. Apparently, they're touring. I mean, geez. But like the only one I really, really, really like up here is Sahith. I'm not really too committed to either one of them. Maybe this is a good live opportunity. I mean, I think now, granted, okay, remember this is the first time and I didn't get to do a course breakdown video this week. I'm not sure the next time you get a course breakdown video from me might potentially be the Masters, Augusta National, but we obviously this tournament is normally played in the fall. People are talking about the overseed. We have boots on the ground this week. We've already been texting with them. They're going to help us understand how this course may play a little bit different. If the overseed is pretty present, it may make it play a little longer, but also a little more receptive on the greens. We'll see. Could change a few things, but it may be a good live opportunity because I think no matter what the overseed's doing, you don't. This is not a birdie fest, right? Like even though Finau won at like 16 under, whatever he did last year, it was he kind of beat everybody by a few shots. And there's only been a handful of people every year it's been here that have been over or that have been better than 10 under par. So I think when Kokrak won, he was 10 under on the number. And so, I mean, it's not like you have to make everything. It's not like you have to be perfect here. There's going to be mistakes. So maybe because of that, we see a bunched up leaderboard and it's kind of a Valspar opportunity where you got a bunch of guys within a few shots heading into the weekend. You can get some of these guys like Willie Z, like Sahith, maybe even Wyndham Clark at a little bit longer number, just a touch longer number if they come out a little slow, and then all of a sudden they could shoot up. So I think I'm not going to do a whole lot up here. I do think we need to talk about Scottie Scheffler at plus 275 now on DraftKings.
Yeah.
Which in our 9 years of doing this, I'm not sure we've ever seen. You know, we came just after Tiger, you know, after all the Tiger era stuff. Like, have we ever seen an outright, especially in a full field at 3-1 or shorter? I don't think so.
I can't think of when. I do think Rahm got pretty short, pretty close to that, yeah. like last year when he was playing so well and then leading up to Mexico, or was that a couple of years ago when he won Mexico? I don't know, but he was like 3-1 in Mexico, I feel like. But that was like the last time I feel like we saw something close.
Yeah.
That was a very bad field.
Rahm is, or not Rahm, Scheffler is the perfect, I know, I'm sure our boy Money Marge is going to watch this at some point, or listen, you know, author of the Juicin', Let's Go Juicin' article. I'm sure that, I mean, it's got to be Scotty as the Let's Go Juicin' candidate that maybe we can pair with a nice March Madness bet later on in the week, figure that out. But I mean, I'm still not going to bet anything at 3-1 by itself, but let me say this specifically on Wyndham Clark. What do you think Wyndham Clark comes out and does this week? Like, forget about his odds. Like, how do you think he does?
Well, I mean, he's obviously been playing extremely well. I feel like, you know, when you look at the recent numbers on them from a ball striking standpoint, they've been very good. I mean, there's not really been that many weaknesses in his game, maybe scrambling, but I feel like he could play well this week. Now, look, this is when we start to get the whole narrative of, you know, a guy has struggles in the first, like a guy like Wyndham, not Scotty really, but a guy like Wyndham of his caliber, like starts off bad and then, hey, are they going to eject and kind of get ready for the Masters? I don't necessarily always believe in that. In my mind, though, Wyndham, I think, could have a very good week. Just, I mean, you can't deny the form that he's in right now and how he's been playing. So, and the confidence he seems to have also. He's got a little swagger to him out there.
Yeah, that's got to be there for sure. For right reason. I mean, the only guy that's beat him the last two times he's pegged it up is Scottie Scheffler. So,
yeah.
I guess my take, if I wanted to bring in a hot take here, and I get the Memorial comparisons to Augusta, that's it's long, it's a lot of short grass chipping, you know, that kind of thing. Like I get some of that comparison. So it might be a decent spot for a guy to do some last prep before Augusta, not play Valero, you know, and get ready. It is surprising to me, though, that Wyndham is here just because, I mean, I know he's played here the last 3 years, but the last 3 years he's probably had to. I mean, remember the last time that was here was 2022. So this was before he broke out and won Quail Hollow and the U.S. Open. So, like, he was still old Wyndham Clark. So he needed to play in the fall. He had to be here and get his points and do his thing. And he's improved every time he's played. Missed cut, 41st, 16th. That's good. But it does surprise me a little bit that he's even here. And because he doesn't have to be here. And why would you, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Does he really need prep for Augusta right now? Like, I don't, it's just surprising to me.
The only thing is, I mean, I'm sure, you know, whenever you commit to the tournament, you're, you know, if he put it on his schedule, it's there. But there's a part of me also with these guys that I feel like when you're looking at coming into a major, especially when you're in good form, to me, to keep that form, you almost want to go out and play just like maybe 2 weeks before the Masters, which is what we're doing here, to just kind of, you know, keep the vibes going, keep those good, you know, good thoughts going, that kind of stuff. You don't want anything to really mess it up. So that's another reason I think you could play 2 weeks before. Now, the week before, I don't know. I don't.
Some guys like it, some guys don't.
Yeah. But I think 2 weeks before makes a little sense. And if there is some comparisons to Augusta, and maybe that's what he was thinking when he put it on, you know, put it on his schedule, then, you know, I get it. I get it from that standpoint.
I just could see when you're talking about betting him outright, I'm not talking about top, you know, a placement bet or DFS, but betting him outright at that number, which he's now down to like 12-1. It does just feel like there is a scenario where, you know, he is hitting. We heard Justin Thomas. I think Justin Thomas said this last year or the year before, say that at certain tournaments leading up to Augusta, he does, if he's in a certain position, he does start to look at shots and say, let's play this like X at Augusta, where he's not necessarily hitting the shot that course demands. He's hitting the shot that he knows he's going to have to hit later. And he admitted that. And so I do think there could be some of that. And for these guys this short, you know, I don't know. I think that's some risk.
Well, I think you made a good point earlier. This could be another week like last week. And I wish I'd really talked about that more on the betting show last week, that it could be, you could get some live numbers. You know, if Wyndham's not having a great first round, but, you know, I don't know, he could get on a tear. So I think he could get some live numbers. By the way, speaking of wasting money, and I don't want to spend too much time on this because he's not even in the field, but speaking of wasting money, people are wasting money on Justin Thomas. I'm looking at the camera now to tell you, you're wasting money on Justin Thomas for the time being. Now, at some point,
JT was back.
I mean, I don't know, but I've discovered that you're wasting money on JT, and you need to dial it back, okay?
Says the guy who's wasted money on Cam Young.
And plenty of money on Justin Thomas. He was not on the card last week. I did not bet him, but I'm just, you know, I need to speak. It's like speaking to the mirror and the camera. I'm telling myself, like, you need to hold off on JT right now.
You're looking at the man in the mirror?
Yeah. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. Okay.
That's what I was hoping for there when I said that. All right. Before we move on, I want to remind everybody to check out our friends at Bet the Number, betthenumbergolf.com, the premier brand spanking new golf data platform. Everything is up for the Masters. If you want to get into your early Masters research, all that's there. The majors data is loaded, locked and loaded on Bet the Number. The live tournament tool is fantastic. That's the place to be if you want to fire a live bet this week. You want to see the live strokes gain data. You want to see it all happen, where they rank, the raw numbers, whatever it is you want to research live during the tournament. Once it starts on Thursday, go to Bet the Number, go to the tournament page, knock it out, do your thing. The custom model continues to get customer, you know what I mean? Like more custom. I made that up right there.
Yeah, that was pretty good, actually. Yeah. Good job.
So check that out. Promo code TJ gets you $5 off the monthly and $50 off the annual membership. Or if you're in the Discord and you're a paying member, you can DM myself or Pat and ask for a one-time unique special boy, special girl code that will give you the biggest discount available anywhere money can buy. So check that out. BetTheNumberGolf.com. Continuous improvement over there at BetTheNumber, and more to come in time for Augusta. So give that a shot. You got people who know what they're doing behind the scenes. They don't fill it with a bunch of frivolous stats that sound like you're really smart and make you seem like you've got it all together, but they're really just noise.
Yeah.
People behind the scenes at BetTheNumber have been doing this professionally for about a few years on the PGA Tour at a high level, and know these golf courses and know these golfers and know what it takes to understand the golfers and the courses and what they demand. So don't weigh your crap down with all a bunch of useless stuff. Okay. You don't need to know, you know, I don't know, like strokes gained,
Houston, Texas,
Houston in during El Nino,
yeah,
and a Democrat president. Like you don't have to know that. You don't have to know strokes gain, whatever, you know, when, before Elon bought Twitter and after. You don't have to know that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know any of that. So just don't get crazy. Let's just, you know, do our thing. BetTheNumber. Check it out. Link in the description. All right. Up to 75-1, Pat.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. Okay. Don't look at anything, Pat. Don't look at anything. Ready? Let me just read this to you. Fifth in strokes gained off the tee, third in strokes gained approach, sixth in green and reg percentage, sixth in strokes gained last 30 rounds from 125 to 185, key range. 10th in strokes gained on approach last 30 rounds, 200 plus. Top third of the field in bogey or worse percentage. Not a bad scrambler. Has played here every year, has improved every year, missed cut to T41 to T9 last year. He's got four top 20s in his last five starts. He's 45-1. Do you want him?
Yes.
Who is he?
Alex Noren.
No.
Damn it. Wait. It's not Steven Yeager.
No.
Okay, one more guess. Ben Griffin.
Ben Griffin?
I don't know.
Ben Griffin?
I'm reading off the names of one? Who I wrote down.
Is Ben Griffin 45-1? No way. If he's 45-1, somebody knows something. He is stinking.
He's not. I was looking at Yeager 45-1. Yeager is 45-1.
It's Keith Mitchell.
Oh, well, I had 40-1 written down for Keith Mitchell, but yeah. Okay.
I mean, huh? Like, if I just cover the name and I just tell you, and you don't think about the ejection that we already covered earlier, if I just cover it up, you're like, oh, okay. I think I want that. Right?
Yeah, I think. I have Keith Mitchell written down. I think you go back to him this week. If you bet him last week, do it again this week. Look, I mean, it was a terrible Sunday round for him. I don't know what happened. I mean, right off the bat, his first tee shot was absolutely horrible. Just blew it left. They were saying they were having to move parked cars. I didn't know that those were in the way on the first hole. But yeah, Apparently they are. And Keith Mitchell, and you know, he did this last year. Do you remember last year he shot like 80 in the final round? So I don't know what it is with him, but I think you go back to him 45-1, 40-1, whatever the number is. I do like him. I think the stats show that he is certainly playing well enough.
All right. See, good. That's how I set you up to make myself feel better about this. Speaking of Alex Noren, I mean, I like that too.
Yeah.
Like, to me, Noren and Mitchell are two that I want to go ahead and get. Like, Noren's playing solid, checking a lot of boxes, great, you know, really good short game, gaining strokes off the tee nicely. He's not the longest hitter out there, but still gain strokes off the tee and does his thing. Irons are solid. T4 here last year. He's been in contention. I like this range. I like those two. Who else do you like in here?
Well, I've got I wrote down Steven Yeager. I like Steven Yeager at 45-1. I don't know if he's ever going to win, but I guess I'll continue to bet him. You know, I think, do you have a comment there?
I mean, Yeager's tough. Like, I gave a good, long, hard look at Yeager but the iron play has tailed off. And
yeah,
he's never really, I mean, I guess his short game's pretty good. His around the green play is pretty good. But he's got some speed on him, obviously. The irons are concerning, but I get it.
I mean, there is this gentleman right here on this poster. I don't know if you've noticed it. I'm surprised you didn't even say anything about it.
I was letting you have that. Yeah.
He's 55-1.
Yes.
Which is around the same number he was at for Mexico. Mm-hmm. He's playing extremely well, obviously. He continues to play well. Why not take Jake Knapp at 55-1?
I mean, you should.
Yeah. So he's certainly one of them that I think you got to put on your card. You know, the other one that I want Aaron Rye to win also.
What is his problem?
I mean, damn it. Anytime I bet Aaron Rye, I put him on the card last week. I think you may have had him on the card too. I don't know. But anytime I feel like I bet Rye, he doesn't play well. And then when he, you know, and I don't bet him, he plays well. You know, he was a top, he's played here twice here and played extremely well. T19 in 2021, T7 last year. You know, checks a lot of boxes here in our model. He's 6 actually as far as ranking in the model. At 50-1, I think Aaron Rye is certainly worth a sprinkle, but he just doesn't seem to come through for me.
I am with you on Aaron Rye. He does check the boxes. I don't think there's reason enough to bounce off of him based on last week. But And this is crazy to say in 2024, given our winners, but I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he's a winning guy right now. And I don't know how Peter Malnati is a winning guy, but he is. I do believe in some upside with Rye. I like a top. If you just love Aaron Rye, I like a top 10. Whatever the best top 10 number you can find on. If you believe in the Aaron Rye and you want some exposure to him on a long number, like, I like that, but I do not trust that guy to win right now.
He is hard to trust to win, but I haven't looked at the top 10 number. I have looked at the top 20 number not to, you know, go ahead and say it, but he is on one of my locks as the top 20, and that's plus 190. I think in this range, if I'm going to narrow down the guys that I do think can win, Keith Mitchell, Alex Noren, Jake Knapp, those are like my three favorites that I think, you know, have, you know, proven they can win. Noren, not so much lately, but still.
I have one more. Yeah, Noren has not won on the PGA Tour, but he's a winner.
Yeah, but he has won before, though.
I have one more here I like, and it's he's at 70-1 now. He was at 80-1 this morning at the First Look show. I'm going to keep riding Taylor Moore.
Yeah, I do like that. I agree.
I mean, really solid around the green, not just recently, but long-term. He's good around the green. Short game's good. Avoids the bogeys and the big numbers nicely. Ball speed is up there for sure. And the irons have been quite fantastic. I mean, they really have. T12 last week, gained over 5.5 strokes on approach last week. You know, proven winner. 70-1, 80-1. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I had him starred as well. I didn't mention him, but I do like him. I don't think I really have anybody else. You know, I know you want to bet Bo Hosser really bad.
I don't actually. I think Bo. You know, the whole thing with Bo was like, were we watching him level up with the iron play? But three of the last four tournaments have not been good.
Yeah, they have not. They have not.
So. And. You know, I'm not saying the level up still isn't there. Like, even when you have a level up, you're going to have off weeks and off runs. But I'm not ready to keep firing Bo at 55-1. Like, I was betting Bo at 55-1 when his irons were dialed, and he was top 10 in my model, 15 in my model. Yeah. He's not now. So I'm fine just not. Dude, this is how jacked up my brain is from the last nearly 6 weeks. There was a part of me this morning during the First Look show that almost, just because of the nature of this course and the around the green play and the high or you know, low GIR rates and all that stuff, a small part of me almost mentioned Mackenzie Hughes' name.
Oh, Lord.
And like, that's never happened in my 9 years. I don't think I've ever. I'm pretty sure I have never bet Mackenzie Hughes in 9 years.
His putting was unreal. I think he gained over 7 strokes putting last week. I think he was at 8 strokes at one point. And his you know, is around the game, you know, his scrambling's pretty good, but the putting is what saves him tremendously. But if you don't get a hot putter from him, nothing, it ain't, there ain't going to be a win there.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't imagine having it. So yesterday I was in the Discord for a few minutes. Easy DM'd me and said, I have a Mackenzie Hughes was leading, solo leader, 10 under at the time. He said, I have a Mack Hughes outright. I can cash it out. It was $5 at like 200-1 or something, or $5 at like, I don't know, 150-1 or something. I can cash it out now for $200. What do I do? And I said, cash it. Cash
Hell
it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't imagine having a Mackenzie Hughes outright and having to watch that fool hit every shot coming down the stretch when they're showing every shot, especially as he goes into the snake pit, even though it's a you know, very tame serpent.
Yeah.
Because he's just so loose. Like, his driver and irons are so bad that every shot you just be holding your breath. It would be the worst. But then he could make a 60-foot putt to save par, and you're like, God dang it.
I have one more guy I want to mention.
Okay.
Kitty.
I kind of like
Kitty. You know, it might be a kitty week.
I know. We sometimes you need a little kitty.
Yeah. I saw Wedding Crashers. I watched it over the weekend while I was on vacation. Kitty cat.
Yeah.
You know that part?
Yeah.
That's when I saw that part of the movie, I was thinking of Kitty-yama. It totally changed the whole movie.
And then you saw his name and you're like, yeah, we're doing this.
That popped in my head. Wedding Crashers.
I'm with you, man. I mean, in the key iron ranges, he's dialed there, off the tee dialed. You just need the short game to hold up. But I mean, you know what? He's one that if the course is a little softer and the greens are a little more receptive, I think that's better for him.
Yeah.
Kind of with you. I love this range. Like, this is.
Yeah, this is. There's a lot we could hammer in here, too.
So. I got a feeling my betting card is going to look a lot like last week's, where I had literally a dozen guys, but the shortest guy was 40 to 1.
Yeah.
So anything else in this range? We want to move on.
That's it for me. We can move on.
All right. Thanks to our friends at SoBet for keeping the lights on here at Tour Junkies HQ. Listen, if you're a Tour Junkies fan, if you like what we do, you got to support the people who support us. And SoBet is now on year 2 supporting the Tour Junkies podcast. And it is not just a thing that like you just go and do, but you benefit greatly from. They are crushing it in March Madness. They have just continued to crush it in general. They have got some of the most talented handicappers over there. It is not us, okay? They have got some super talented handicappers over there doing great things, making people a lot of units. You know, they're not hitting everything, but they're hitting a lot. They're hitting most of it. And you get transparency in the plays, unit allocations. SoBet is the place to go if you're betting on any sport at all. You can try it out. Actually, code TJ. Code TJ is the active code right now. You get the first month for $1, and everything else subsequent after that's like $10 a month. And you can cancel anytime if you want. We've got a lot of you who have gotten into SoBet and you're committed to SoBet and you're doing great in SoBet. I know our boy Marcus Griffin, shout out to Marcus. He's enjoyed it. Like, it's a great spot if you're in a legal gambling state, especially, but even if you're not, there is content in there for you that will help you do whatever you're doing. If it's fantasy, if it's DFS, if it's props, whatever. Check it out. Link in the description. Code is TJ. Gets you the first month free on SoBet. All right, bombs. Long range up to 125-1. I kind of have two in here, I guess. Let me see where they've gone here. And one of them, you know, I mean, actually both these guys I tend to bet. Oh man, he's gotten longer. Well, hang on. Let me see. All right, I got one. I mean, at triple digits on a course that rewards length, I will usually 70% of the time I'm going to bet Cam Champ. Like three-time PGA Tour winner. Sure.
Good week last week, too.
Good week last week. And what's crazy is he gained 8 strokes putting, which is dumb. But he also gained 5 strokes putting in Mexico. Like, he may not be like the worst putter, like the one of the 10 worst putters on tour like we were used to him being. Like, maybe he's actually improved a little bit. Short game's terrible. That's probably going to not be good. But kind of like Kitty, if it's softer, even better for Cam Champ. So I mean, right now I see 110, 120 to one maybe on FanDuel. I like that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not. I don't mind that. You know, I think I kind of I like Hubs. He's at 110 to one. Now, obviously, when you're looking at ball speed numbers and that kind of stuff, he's not going to check a lot of boxes there. He was DQ'd here last year. I got to figure out why he was DQ'd here last year.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
He's
anyway.
Didn't he have ties to Houston? I don't know. I feel like he does.
Yeah. I think you said that to him.
Yes, ties everywhere. Yeah.
You were like, aren't you from Houston or something? Yeah. When we were out at the WM, he was like,
why am I hung up on that?
I don't know, because I think he's from like Denver. Or
he's something. A Colorado guy, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think he lives there anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe he lives in Scottsdale.
I don't know. But anyway, Hubs at 110 to 1.
Well, I'll send him a message. Hubs, where do you live?
Yeah, where do you live again?
The hell?
Is there, like I mentioned this guy earlier when I just had a brain aneurysm, but Ben Griffin is at 80 to 1. Coming off of the top 20 last week, he was T16 here last year. You look at the round, you know, his scrambling, his putting is good. You know, not necessarily that long off the tee. Feel a little Ben Griffin. Can I get you on to Ben Griffin?
No.
And
I like Benji.
Yeah.
No.
The other one I had on here, now I think his number's shortened. Where is he? Where's Doug Ginn? Oh, there's Doug Ginn. It's shortened to 75 to 1. It was at 81 when I was looking at this. So I kind of inched him up into this category. But, I mean, we got to keep riding Doug Ginn, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, he still hit the iron so good last week.
Yeah.
He killed me. I had him as a top 20 last week. Pretty heavy on that. Didn't work out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind Doug Ginn again, old Douglas.
Yeah, I think outside of him, there's only two others that I really have, and they're long shots, even longer.
Okay, let's get to it. Let's talk bombs.
Okay, do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think Andrew Novak being 150 to one, we still need to hammer that.
Earlier this morning, he was, I think it was 170 or something on FanDuel, 200 on FanDuel.
Yeah.
So check FanDuel, maybe better.
Still have to keep going with Novak. And then, you know, a guy that had a good Sunday and finished well, Carl Yuan at 130 to 1, coming off that T5. I think he's
about some magic beans yesterday. He had that working yesterday.
He did. But he can move it off the tee too.
Yeah, he can. He hit it.
Yeah, so I think Carl Yuan at 130 to 1 and then Novak at 150 to 1. Those are my two bombs that I like. Don't really have anybody else in this.
God, no Bud Cauley?
No Cauley. Not feeling it this week.
Novak for sure. I kind of like Hayden Springer. Hits it muy far. T3 at Puerto Rico. Decent finishes at Torrey in Mexico. Just needs to put kind of everything together and not like be really bad in one category, whether it's irons or around the green or something. He's shown signs. I mean, if you look at his strokes gained last five rounds, like he's had like some really peak iron weeks where his around the green was really, really bad. And then all of a sudden he's got a really good around the green week and the irons are really, really bad. And some of that's connected, some of that's tied together, but, in terms of opportunity and stuff, but I think Springer's interesting. He's like 180 or 250 on FanDuel. Last I looked, 251 on FanDuel.
Yeah.
What about Dylan Wu? Like, I just feel like his number is way too long. I think he was 270 to 1 on FanDuel, and he's coming off three top 26 finishes in his last four starts. Irons are good. Short game's always been kind of solid, or you know, not terrible. Putting's pretty good. I just think Dylan Wu he's hitting it too well to ignore at the moment. And then Parker Cootie.
You're going to take a Cootie?
You got to take a Texas Cootie in Texas.
Yeah.
So, but the dude's irons are fantastic. he's not gaining strokes off the tee only because he must be spraying it, because he hits it a mile. And around the green, he's not terrible. Like he was terrible at Valspar around the green, but he's not been like that consistently. So I think Cootie, he's 250-1.
Yeah.
Parker.
I was looking at some Cootie.
You're peeping some Cootie?
I was peeping at some Cootie.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Don't be careful. Get your stuff, poke your eye out.
I know. I didn't want any this week.
All right. Let's get to it. Let's wrap it up. Top 20 six pack locks and bombs. Let's see. Two locks and a bomb at 4-1 or longer. It's tough to have a lock in this field. I will say that.
It is.
I'm going to give a lock that I didn't talk about.
Good.
Because outright, it scares me a little bit. He doesn't have the best track record around here, number one. Number two, if the course is difficult, he runs hot, although we are seeing possibly a turnaround with a change in his life. Ball speed is among the slowest in the field. But Siwoo Kim, I don't love him at 28-1, 30-1, but plus money for a top 20, Siwoo, plus 120 currently on DraftKings. Probably shop that on MGM if it's plus, if it's even money or plus 105, probably love that. And get the full payout and ties. I want to go Siwoo plus 120.
Okay.
I think that Siwoo baby is going to help his perspective a little bit. He's going to be dialed here very soon.
Yeah, I agree there. All right, so that's your first one. What's your second one? Or do you want me to go with my first one?
You go with your first one.
All right, so my first one is I'm going to go with Alex Noren at plus 140. We talked about him as an outright. Checks a lot of boxes. I think it feels like as good a lock as we can have in this field, other than if you're going to go with the negative numbers with Clark or Scheffler.
I mean, the guy goes from rape whistle buddy bet, inaugural rape whistle buddy bet of the week, to it feels like as much of a lock at plus money in this.
I mean, these are supposed to be locks.
Holy moly. Okay. All right. Alex Noren's come a long way, folks. The Noren parking deck it's been gentrified. There's a lot of safety officers around. They got those poles and buttons you can push where Batman jumps out of a corner or something. It's a safe place now.
Yep.
I've been in a lot of checks in the last 10 days at the hospital. I mean, you got to mind your six and watch where you're going. Parking deck at the hospital is kind of a Noren level.
It is. Yeah. I think this week it's a new age parking deck. They got all kinds of, things that, keep you out of trouble.
Okay. So. Oh, my turn again.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna go back to Keith Mitchell. I'm just gonna go back to Keith.
There you go. Okay. I like it.
Plus 180.
That feels good too.
It feels good. It does feel good.
I feel good about that
one. Anything feels good, it is that.
Yeah. I already mentioned it. Aaron Rye plus 190. If we got to dip our toes into the Aaron Rye waters, need to do the top 20.
We're on the lock section, right?
Plus 190. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For lock.
Okay. Since I've let you steal him multiple times in the bomb category, I'm just going to go ahead and do this now. I feel like he's going to stay in this range until further notice, but Andrew Novak at 4-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we keep hitting that and I'll take it. All right. So then I'll go Yuan, Carl Yuan at plus 400.
All right. Siwoo, Noren, Killa Keith, oh God, Aaron Rye are your locks. Novak, Carl Yuan are your bombs, 4-1. All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Appreciate it. Be sure and check out our friends at Bet the Number. So Bet, don't forget to get in the Masters contest. See you in the Discord. We'll have the DFS show dropping on Tuesday morning. And regularly scheduled content, emails, Wednesday night live chat, Lord willing. And let's have a great week. Bend over your book. See ya. Oh!